But today, I know I said that we were going to teach on heaven, but I've decided to move that to Tuesday. Not so much my own decision, but the Lord began to deal with me this week about another message that he really strongly placed on my heart. And then even this morning, he began to give me the scriptures as I was spending time with him this morning in fellowship and in prayer. He was giving me the scriptures on this. And what we're going to talk about today is, are you problem focused or word focused? Are you word focused or problem focused? Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We need to talk about that because God has great things that's going to be happening for this church, and he wants all of us to learn to become word focused, become faith beings, become people that will truly trust him, trust his word, and stand on it in every circumstance, in every situation. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. This word is not just for you, it's for me as well, you know, because the Lord is constantly dealing with me in areas of my own life. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, where, you know, I've been in this thing for close to 30 years now, and you know, every time I think that I'm the super strong faith man, the Lord shows me, well, you know, there's a little area here you're slacking off in. So I'm still perfecting this just as I'm teaching you how to perfect it as well. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But we have to get to the place where we are word focused and not problem focused. See, we constantly looking at the problem, and then the thing that we look at is the thing that's going to either bring us faith or fear. So if we're looking at the problem, and then we begin to magnify the problem, then we're going to have faith in the problem, and that's going to lead us to fear and worry. Instead of looking at the word of God and standing on God's word in spite of the problem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn with me to John chapter 16. What we've got to learn to do if we're going to become word focused rather than problem focused is recognize our victorious position in Christ Jesus. We've got to realize that Jesus has gotten the victory for us already. He's done everything that is necessary in order for us to have the victory. Praise God.
Amen.
See, there's a teaching out there on spiritual warfare. And I want y'all to hear me now, because just because we are charismatics don't mean that we buy into every charismatic teaching that's out there. Praise God. And some of the teachings on spiritual warfare are just crazy, and they're not in line with the Bible. For example, this rebuking principalities and powers over these territorial spirit things. Now, I respect men of God that teach those things. I just think they're wrong in that particular area. And a lot of the spiritual warfare teaching seems to be trying to fight in order to gain victory. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to teach you throughout this series of messages, however long it lasts, that you must recognize your victorious position in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, we've taught on this before, but I'm going to be teaching it from a somewhat slightly different angle this time and helping you to understand that you must become word focused. So hopefully you have found John chapter 16, and we're going to be looking at verse 33. See, once you begin to see yourself victorious in spite of what's going on, then you will begin to see circumstances change. Praise God. You will begin to see your situation differently, and you will begin to say, hey, in spite of whatever is going on, this is only temporary. I am an overcomer. Satan must depart when I command him to do so. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have authority in Christ Jesus, and we're going to share that throughout this series, helping you to understand the authority that you have based on the Word of God. But see, you've got to know the Word of God in order to exercise your authority in God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
See, let me give you an example. As I was listening to a tape or a CD that my wife had been listening to yesterday, some things you can't use authority over. For example, if you're not paying your tithes, You can't rebuke poverty. Amen. If you're not tithing, you're not giving your offerings, you're not giving unto the Lord, then you have no basis for your authority to try to rebuke the spirit of lack or the spirit or the demons of finances, praise God. The demons that are attacking your finances. They got an open door and an open right to attack your finances because you are disobeying God. You opened the door in that area, amen? Amen. So that's why you got to know the word of God. See, when you know the word of God, then you'll know the areas of authority in which you can exercise your authority in. And you'll be able to deal with the devil with confidence. See, and when you begin to understand that, then maybe you'll understand why that using the name of Jesus is not just a magic formula or just some kind of, you know, good luck charm that a lot of people use, like a lucky rabbit's foot or four-leaf clover or whatever have you. But the name of Jesus is a powerful name that is used, that you can use in conjunction with your knowledge and your obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But the first thing you need to do is understand what the word says and get focused on the word of God, become obedient to that word, and the area you've got to begin with is recognizing your victorious position in Christ Jesus. John chapter 16 verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you." Say "spoken unto you."
Spoken unto you.
Say it again.
Spoken unto you.
You see, when Jesus speaks, is Jesus God?
Yes.
Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad I'm starting to get a unanimous voice here. This is not a trick question. The answer is yes. Praise God.
Yeah.
But I have to ask this to make sure that you understand the answer. Because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of churches, quote unquote churches, that will tell you that Jesus is not God. That he is just an angel who became a man. An angel can't die for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That angel's blood would not have, a shed blood of an angel would not have redeemed you from your sins. It had to be the blood of God to redeem you. That was the only pure blood that, because man is made in the image of God. Angels aren't made in the image of God, praise God. So God had to become a man because he made us in his image in order to die for us, in order to redeem us from our stupidity and our sins. But Jesus is God, praise God. So if Jesus speaks a word, then that is the word of God, right?
Yeah.
So if Jesus spoke, then that means he gave us his word. So that's why it's important when you read John 16, 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you." And now he tells you, he goes on in the rest of this verse to tell you why he has spoken this word unto you. Why? "That in me ye might have peace." In union and in relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have peace. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're not experiencing peace, check your relationship with Jesus. Find out, am I in relationship or am I out of relationship? If you're a Christian, it's easy to tell. Praise God. And it's not always based on a feeling. Oh, what a feeling. No, it's not always a feeling. It's a sense of knowing inside your heart. You just pray and say, "God, am I missing it somewhere?" And he'll tell you, because he loves you. But in relationship with Jesus, you can have peace. Now, look at this. In contrast, "In the world, ye shall have tribulation." Ye shall have it. He didn't say you might have it. Now, he said you might have peace if you're in relationship with him. That's conditional right there. Your peace is conditioned on your relationship with Jesus. But in the world, the tribulation, no conditions. You might have trouble whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
"In the world, ye shall have tribulation." But here's the good news for you and me. "But be of good cheer." Now, he didn't say this to get you down and say, "Oh, God." See, we stop right. Most of us stop reading right there and say, "Why? Why do I have to have tribulation? Why can't things just go smooth? I feel your pain. I don't like tribulation. How about you?
No,
I hate it. Don't like it. Don't want it. Ain't asking for it. Don't have to ask for it because it's going to come anyway. Praise God.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm in the world. I'm guaranteed to have troubles. I'm guaranteed to have problems. But look at this. I am not to focus on the trouble or the problems. He says, but be of good cheer. That sounds a little bit like James. James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Jesus says, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Let me read a couple of different translations for you. Let me read first the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. How many of y'all go through some distress and frustration sometimes? I'm telling you, Mom, I know how you feel. Yes. In the world, you're going to have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But Jesus goes on to say, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Oh, I like that. Jesus says that he has deprived the world of power to harm you. So the world may come against you. Trials may come against you. Satan may come against you, but they have no power over you. Praise God.
Amen.
You can stand against it in the name of Jesus and the word of God, and it must go. Praise God.
Amen.
See, you got something that people that are living in the world don't have and don't understand, and that's why they need your constant praying and intercession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me read this to you from the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. I have spoken these things to you so that you may continuously have whole peace within the midst of and in union with me. I like that, in union with him. Within the system, world of culture, religion, and government, you are continually having pressure, squeezing, and tribulation. But nonetheless, be confident and take courage. I myself have overcome and conquered the system of the world, so that it stands a completed victory. God has given you a completed victory. It may not look like it's completed. That's why you got to stand on the word of God to see the completion and manifestation. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me read this to you from the Message paraphrase. I've told you this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured. God wants you to be that's what peace is. Supernatural peace makes you unshakable. It makes you stand in the midst of trials. Praise God.
Amen.
And I go like I used to do. Why God? Why me? It ain't fair. I've been serving you. God. I'm learning to be unshakable. Praise God. Unshakable and assured. Deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. I like that. And this last one is the Wycliffe Bible. These things I have spoken to you, that ye have peace in me. In the world ye shall have disease or dis-ease. Praise God.
Amen.
In the world ye shall have pressing or overlaying. But trust ye, I have overcome the world. Glory to God.
Amen.
So basically what Jesus is saying here throughout these translations is that we can expect to have problems, things that distress us, things that frustrate us, things that can tempt us to worry and get down and become depressed. There are a number of these things in the world that can confront us. But Jesus says that because I have already conquered the world, then you can rest in my victory. You can have peace, confidence, and trust in me because I have already provided the victory for you. Praise God.
Amen.
See, you are not to try to confront your trials, your problems, and stuff by trying to physically fight with them. Praise God. You cannot whoop the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of the spiritual warfare teaching is doing, is trying to get you to fight with demons and principalities and powers in order to get the victory. Listen, Jesus has defeated the devil and demons. You are going to have problems with them, but that's only because they're trying to test you to see if you know what you know. Praise God.
Amen.
And so what you've got to do, your fight is not based on trying to obtain victory. The Bible teaches us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. What is a good fight of faith? First of all, faith in the fact that I have already have victory through Jesus Christ. Victory already belongs to me. So now what I am doing is telling the devil, listen, you are on my property. This property belongs to me. Get off in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that if I resist the devil, he must flee from me. Praise God.
Amen.
It didn't say that if I spend all night in fasting. Now, fasting is good. Praise God. And sometimes you got to fast in certain situations. But it doesn't say that if I spend all night fasting and warring against the principality and the power of this region, that I will soon, after 12 days, have victory over it. No, it doesn't say that. The Bible teaches us that we stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
And when we stand against the wiles of the devil, and we stand with in faith saying, declaring what the Word of God says concerning that area in my life, whether it say if I'm sick in my body, I stand on scriptures concerning healing. If I'm struggling in my finances, and I'm a tither. Glory to God.
Amen.
Then I can stand and say, hey, I rebuke you, devourer. You cannot destroy the fruit of my ground because I have given my tithes and my offerings. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I remember I was listening to something Kenneth Copeland said one time where he was talking about his son John, who had been backslidden. But he said his son, even though he was backslidden, he continued to pay his tithes. He said, Daddy, he said, I may be backslidden, but I ain't stupid. He said, I know if I don't tithe, the devil will get in there. So he continued to pay his tithes, even though he was backslidden. Praise God. Now, we want the whole of you, praise God. We don't want your money. We want all of you. But, you know, God wants your money, as Pastor Mary was saying earlier, because He wants to bless you. Now she's gonna have to preach on, now that she didn't get that revelation, she's gonna have to develop and preach it here. Praise God.
Amen.
So you let us know when you're ready to do that. Glory to God. Maybe if we have to, we'll postpone this series until she gives us that, because we need these financial blessings, glory to God.
Amen.
We need to buy some instruments. We need to send some of y'all to school to play the instruments, because it seems like that might be the way God wants us to do it. And I've already priced out the instruments. Some of them are on sale now. Some of the drum sets are on sale. So we need to hurry up before Christmas is over. So that means I want these instruments soon. So I'm committing my wife and I to donate a certain amount of money. I'm not going to say what yet. But y'all, you know, you get with God. This is your church. Praise God.
Amen.
This is not Pastor Troy's church. This is your church. This is the church of Jesus Christ with all his servants. So y'all just, you know, I'm not asking you for money. I'm not even going to tell you an amount you give. Just think about what you need to give. If you can't give anything, God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if you can give something, do the best you can. Well, Pastor, all I got is a dollar. Praise God. If everybody holds back only their $1, then that's $1 less than we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So give whatever God places on your heart. Whatever you give, we will appreciate it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that's one way to open it. And then when you give, to that money, to the work of God, then you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You grab your scriptures, you grab Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and tell the devil, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto my bosom. For with the same measure that I have met, I shall be met with that again. So devil, you have to get your hands off my finances, because I have obeyed the word of God, and the word of God has authority over you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've got to learn to take God's word and stand on it. That's why we don't tell you to memorize scriptures just so that you can look spiritual. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
We don't tell you to read your Bible just so that you can look like, hey, I know everything. No, we want you to learn your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, so that you can stand in the victory that already belongs to you through Christ Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
And that's the only way to do it, is to know those areas in which Jesus has helped you to overcome. Now, why is there tribulation in the world? I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to tell you. We're going to stay in John. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 31. We're going to look at a couple of passages in John. And if we have time, we'll look at something in 1 John, and then we'll close out. But John chapter 12, verse 31. See, why did Jesus have to overcome the world? I mean, think about it. Many times, I don't know about you, but as I think about the world, most of the time, the picture that comes in my mind is a picture of the earth. A picture of the globe of the earth. Does that happen to you? But really what Jesus is talking about is the world system, the government, the government that controls the people that is in this world. Praise God.
Amen.
See, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, because of the government that is controlling the world, then of course that means that whoever is controlling this world system also has control over the resources of the earth. But because you and I are Christians and the earth belongs to the Lord, we can declare to whoever, to the world system, you need to get your hands off of this portion.
Amen.
This is my portion. Get your hands off of it. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Praise God.
Amen.
John chapter 12, looking at the very last verse. Not the very last verse, but verse 30, 31. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Does anybody know who the prince of this world is?
The devil.
The devil, of course. Jesus is not going to cast out his father, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not going to pronounce judgment on his father, praise God. Mm-hmm. So the prince of this world has to be one person, and that happens to be the devil. The word prince, it comes from the Greek word archon, which simply means ruler. Satan is the ruler of this world system thanks to Adam. See, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, that God, when he created this earth and he created the world, he gave human beings dominion over it. Praise God.
Amen.
He gave you and I the authority. We were the rulers of this world. But then Adam sold out everything to the devil. And so when Jesus went to confront the devil in the wilderness, one of the things the devil says was, see all this? It was handed to me, and I can give it to whoever I want. In other words, he was bragging about how much he had rulership over this world. And Jesus did not even dispute that. He did not fuss with him on that. He just simply said, hey, I'm not going to worship you. I created you. Why would I worship my own creation? Why would he do that? Crazy people do that today, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They build statues and then they worship them. Satan expected God to do the same exact thing. But see, Satan is the ruler of this world. But look at what Jesus did to Satan. He judged him and he casted him out. Basically, what it means, not that he threw him out of the world, but it means that he destroyed his authority, praise God.
Amen.
He destroyed his dominion. Now, the only reason why Satan continues to rule is because men and women have not yet grasped this truth. It reminds me of a story I heard about a Nazi prison camp, where this colonel was very mean and just treated the prisoners badly and had them all scared. But then one day the Allied forces come in, they bomb the camp, and they rescue the prisoners. And so they have this colonel, he's all tied up and everything, and so they releasing the prisoners and telling them to get out of this and letting them free up from their cells. But then the colonel, who's all tied up and bound and being guarded by the Allied forces, hollers over and says, "Get back in your cells!" And they all go running back into their cells. Now here's this man bound, tied up, defeated. But the people believe he was still in charge. Praise God.
Amen.
So if you get the understanding that Jesus has already judged Satan, has already defeated him, has already casted him out, then in spite of the fact that you are in this world where you will face problems, troubles, and distress, you must recognize that you already had the victory because you are in relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
John 14, turn with me to John chapter 14. I don't know about you, but I'm getting encouraged.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Glory to God.
Amen.
John chapter 14 and verse 30. Now Jesus is getting ready to die for our sins. He's getting ready to be treated badly by the Jews and the Romans. But he says this to his disciples. He says, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Praise God.
Amen.
Now, why is that important to understand? We know who the prince of the world is, right?
Yeah.
Who's the prince of the world?
Devil.
Now, see, the reason, and what did I tell you earlier? The reason why Satan continues to rule this world is because he has stuff on people. It's almost like blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you sin, then Satan has an open door in your life. It's like being caught, like a man being caught with a woman that's not his wife, and somebody else has a picture of it and says, "If you don't give me this, then I'm going to expose you to the whole world." And so the person starts giving into that kind of thing. Well, that's what Satan does. But see, Jesus was the first man to ever come into the world that Satan couldn't do that to, because there was no sin in him. Jesus never is the only person. Now, he's God, but remember, when Jesus came into the world, he had none of his God attributes. He didn't have any of his power. All the miracles that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, giving you and I an example of what we can do today. Praise God.
Amen.
You can lay hands on the sick and see them get healed, just like Jesus did. You can cast out demons, just like Jesus did. See, because of your victorious position in Christ Jesus, you can speak to demons inside of people and tell them, "Come out!" And they got to obey you, because you're in Christ, praise God.
Amen.
And you have and because you are in Christ, you have authority over every demon. It don't take no special man of God to come and cast out demons. You can do it. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say these signs shall follow the apostle. These signs shall follow the pastor. I like what my pastor in Japan did one time. These ladies, they were having trouble with demons in the house. And so he went over there and he said, "Okay, I'm going to show y'all how to do this, but I'm going to show you one time." He said, "After that, don't call me over here no more." He commanded the demons to leave the house. The demons left. There was peace in the house. He said, "Now you can do the same thing. Thank you. God bless you. Goodbye." Praise God.
Amen.
See, what I'm teaching you, and if you listen to me, you don't have to call me. Now, you call me, I'll come. I'm not like my pastor. I'll come as many times as I need to. But I expect you to sooner or later get it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to get this And so you, and the reason why, because you got to learn to help other people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like Pastor Mary said, what if I'm way in Florida somewhere, sitting on the beach chilling? And I don't, and if I'm on the beach chilling, I ain't answering the cell phone. You hear me? I probably will. I mean, knowing me, I probably would, but I shouldn't. So you shouldn't bother me when I'm on vacation. You're having trouble with the devil, you gotta learn to deal with him based on the authority you have. See, the fact is that because of Jesus' righteousness, you are now righteous because of Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
You have positional righteousness, because Satan could not find anything to accuse Jesus of. Jesus said that he has nothing in me. Nothing in me, praise God.
Amen.
He couldn't find no sin by which to accuse Jesus. That's why Jesus was able to be raised from the dead. That's why Jesus did not have to stay under death's dominion and power. Because when the devil killed him, he made a mistake, praise God.
Amen.
See, he could kill people, he could bring death to everybody before. But once he killed Jesus, he killed the wrong man, and he found out, oh my goodness, I messed up on that one, praise God.
Amen.
He was so desperate to kill Jesus, so desperate to get rid of him, he killed him and didn't think about the legalistic consequences that would come about after he did that. By killing Jesus, he set everybody free.
Amen.
That would accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Glory to God.
Amen.
And now we're all of us who have accepted Jesus and have relationship with him are now free from Satan's dominion, and we have authority over him. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Because Jesus, glory to God. You can clap on that one. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the overcomer, and you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, you become an overcomer, praise God.
Amen.
You know, I like something my daughter Terry said one time. It made me laugh, you know, because she's such a grown girl. But my wife and I were talking about buying a new car. She said, what kind of car are we going to get? She said, I live in this household, so whatever is mine, whatever they get is mine, praise God. But that's a good attitude. If you are in a household of faith, you are in Jesus' household. So if he's an overcomer, then you are an overcomer automatically.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's look at two more scriptures.
Yeah.
And we're going to close out. Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I'm teaching myself happy. I tell me and Pastor Flowers, we were talking the other day, and we were talking how jealous we are of each other, because Pastor Flowers was telling me, he said, Pastor Troy, I was trying to teach like you the other day, and he said, I just couldn't do it. He said, I ended up preaching anyhow. I said, well, you better, I keep trying to do like you sometimes, and I can't seem to ever get that, that preaching thing he does. I mean, Pastor Flowers can preach and get the crowd going, boy.
Amen.
I said, I get so jealous sometimes. I said, man. But God has called me to teach, so I stay with my calling. Just like I told him, you got to stay with your calling. Don't try to be like me. You don't try to be like me, I won't try to be like you. We try to make that vow to each other until we hear each other preach it, whatever. Anyway, praise God.
Amen.
So, verse 11, John chapter 16. God gives everybody different gifts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, like, so, for example, myself and Mary, we both teach, but you notice that Mary has a different teaching style than I do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those of you who have heard Pastor Christick, he's an excellent teacher, but, you know, his style is different than mine. You know, I was over one of his Bible studies about a week ago, and I mean, he did a very excellent job of explaining to us about the Good Samaritan. And I said, man, I wanted to steal that message from him. But praise God. 16:11, it says, talking about the prince of this world again, a judgment, because the prince, look at this, the prince of this world is judged. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have distress, trials, frustrations. But you remember that these distresses, these confrontations are coming from somebody that's been judged. Somebody that's already defeated. Somebody that already has a judgment against them, and their time is short, praise God.
Amen.
And so that judge person, the prince of this world, Satan, has no authority over you, has no authority over your home, has no authority over your children, has no authority over your marriage, has no authority in any area of your life. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you have to stand against them. Sometimes, now, let me help you understand. The Bible does say that submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But he don't always flee right away.
Mm-hmm.
He's a persistent, I'm telling you, Satan's a persistent dude. He's stubborn. If there's anything to admire about Satan,
he's stubborn.
Yes, it's his tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
He has tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Christians have to learn to have that same type of tenaciousness or even more. Jesus himself said you gotta be learning to be wise as serpents, praise God, and harmless as doves. So you got to be different from Satan, but you still got to have that tenaciousness that he has. You got to let him know, I'm going to stand. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, having done all, stand. In other words, don't say, well, you did it all, so you might as well quit. No, having done all, stand. Having done all, what are we supposed to do?
Stand.
You got to continue to stand. And the only way you can ever stand in faith in spite of what's going on is that you remember, realize, and recognize that Satan is a defeated enemy and you are already in a position of victory in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at one more passage of scripture and I'll close you out and send you home. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is some good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. See, if we learn to be word focused, put our focus on the word, the problems will look small in our eyes. Remember, you know, we got this song, I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And then we go on to say, and magnify the Lord. We have to magnify God in our eyes. He's already big. He's already strong, but what we have to do is in our own eyes is magnify God up and above our problems, glory to God.
Amen.
See, I remember last year when I was going through a really, really tough situation. I still have never told y'all the extent of the situation that I was dealing with. I've shared it somewhat, and I've shared it somewhat with Pastor Mary and Steve, but I never wanted anybody to be discouraged, so I didn't really tell y'all the whole thing that I was going through. But the devil, I mean, he was really trying to destroy me last year. And it was this word that kept me, praise God.
Amen.
Every day I got up and confessed. For example, Psalm 46:1 says, the Lord is my refuge, my strength, a very present help in a time of trouble.
Amen.
I continued to confess Psalm 91 and recognize that God is my refuge. And I declare that my enemies would not have the victory over me in this. Praise God.
Amen.
And I had to, and every day I had to make up my mind to forgive the people that were trying to destroy me. Every day I had to say, I forgive them. I'm not gonna hold this against them. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, I had to teach a whole series on forgiveness, not just for y'all, but for me too. Had to recognize that God is a forgiving God and I must be forgiven. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I got the victory. Glory to God.
Amen.
The same people that try to destroy me are telling me now that that I'm so needed and I'm so valuable and things of that nature. It's such a big turnaround. A total big turnaround.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So if you stand on God's word and declare your victory, you magnify the Lord God. And keep him in front, then I'm telling you, everything that's trying to confront you and come against you and destroy you, you will see its defeat. You will see it topple to the ground. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at one more passage of scripture, and then we're going to close out. To go to 1 John. It's the same apostle. He just wrote a different book. And I'm so glad he did. 'll get a chance, I would like to see some people give us some likes on Facebook besides Michelle. Michelle seems to be the only one from our church that's ever visiting the Facebook page.
Wait, you can
Oh, I'm sorry. YouTube.
Like, can you vote like more than once? Because you already did your like.
But I mean, you got to visit more often. That's all. Michelle is on there constantly, so I appreciate you, Michelle. Y'all, for those of y'all that got Facebook pages, come visit y'all church's Facebook page sometimes. We got some good stuff on there. Hallelujah. We got some good devotionals I put up there, and we're reaching a lot of people. But as the administrator, I can see the count of how many people read our posts, and one Tuesday we had 105 people read one of the posts that I put up there. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But the only likes I got was from Michelle and a couple of others. So I want y'all to get on there more and read the stuff. Give us some likes, and build that web page up, because the more y'all build it up, the more people see it. Praise God.
Amen.
And share some things from the web page and from the Facebook page. Visit your web page too, because there's a lot of resources. I'm gonna put more free books on there. We're going to put a couple more free, take some of our books that we make people pay for and put them on there for free. We got a lot of our messages on there, a lot of messages that you can download now. You can burn them to CD and listen to them in the car on the way home. I know some of y'all saying, man, I hear you every Sunday. I don't want to hear you anymore. But get yourself into the Word of God. Amen. Let's look at this last passage of scripture and we're going to go home. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 18 and 19. This is just building up the understanding that Satan is the one controlling the things in the world. So the troubles, problems, and everything that you're dealing with in this world, the source is not God. It's Satan, praise God.
Amen.
God is not the one causing us problems. Jesus overcame the source of the world. If God was the one causing the problem, then that means Jesus had to overcome God. He had to conquer God. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not so. Your Father is on your side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God is on your side. Jesus is on your side. And the Holy Spirit, who continues to put up with you every day, is on your side. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad the Holy Spirit, He sticks it out with me in spite of myself. All right. We know, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God, say born of God. See, this is talking about you. If you're born of God, if you give me your life to Jesus Christ, you have been born again. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? It's not talking about we never slip up, we never make mistakes. It's talking about, in the original Greek, it's talking about continually, habitually sinning. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, if I may slip up, and I don't do this, but I'm just using this as an example. If I may slip up and watch some pornography on the internet, because sometimes it might pop up, then, and I ask God, forgive me, I don't do it again, praise God.
Amen.
I don't make it a habit. I don't sit there and say, well, I can't help it, but I'm born again. No, you don't make it a habit, praise God.
Amen.
A born-again Christian may slip up and say a white lie.
Mm-hmm.
Lying is lying, but we might slip up and give a white lie to get ourselves out of trouble. And you ask God to forgive you. You don't make a habit of lying, praise God.
Amen.
You are not a habitual sinner. That's what that's talking about. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or as another translation says, in the wicked one. Anybody got the NIV? Read verse 19 out loud, Michelle.
We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one.
The whole world is under the control of the evil one. So that's why you are having trouble. You are in this world where the evil one is controlling things. That's another reason why I hate that phrase. My favorite phrase to hate? Anybody remember?
Whatever goes. Wait, was it?
God is in.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all know Pastor. I know some of y'all like that phrase. I know I'm stepping on your toes when I say that, but I don't like it. Because God is not controlling everything that's happening, praise God.
Yeah.
He's not controlling the baby that got molested and raped, praise God.
Yeah.
He's not controlling that situation. He didn't cause that to happen. He didn't cause Grandma Lucy to lose her tooth. She just forgot to brush her teeth. All right. But there's consequences to action, praise God. But the whole world is under the control of the evil one. He is controlling things. But what God has done, God is greater and bigger than the devil. He's defeated the devil, and he's given you control, praise God.
Amen.
So you are in charge. You have to step up to the devil and say, devil, I'm not sitting up here settling for this problem. See, the devil, I really believe that the devil has placed that God is in control idea into so many people's heads to get them to become passive Christians. They sit around and say, well, God is in control. Things will work out for his glory. And it keeps them from standing against the wiles of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
See, but if you begin to understand that you have authority, Satan is controlling the things that's in this world, but you can stand against him using the word of God, then you will begin to walk in victory. Praise God.
Amen.
See, but if you go around saying, well, God is in control, then you're going to become problem-focused and not word-focused. Because you're going to be focusing on the problem. You'll be looking at the problem. You're saying, well, God is in control of all of this. You're not focusing on the word. You don't have no focus on what the word says. And the word can be speaking something against that thing, but you are sitting there saying, well, God is in control. No, you've got to remember Satan is, the world is in the control of the evil one. God is not the evil one. Amen?
Amen.
God is the good one.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't say that the world is in control of the good one, because you're going to find out during the millennium, during the 1,000-year millennium, when God actually is in control of the world, the Bible says that there will be nothing that hurts or harm on my holy mountain. Praise God.
Amen.
And when you get to heaven, before the millennium, you're going to find out there's nothing but good things in heaven. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So if God is running things, everything is nice. The reason why there's so much trouble, so many problems, is because the devil is running things. So why is it that we're born again and we're still left in the world? Well, number one, you got to go out. God needs you to go out and reach the rest of them, praise God.
Amen.
That's the reason why he left you here, soldier. Amen. He left you to continue to battle so that to win those souls out there for Jesus. All right, we'll deal with this more next week. Stand to your feet.
Where's the baby at? Hallelujah. Glory to God.